Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom on the programme tonight. Within days of coming to power in Karnataka, the Congress says that they will revise school textbooks, which had in turn been revised by the previous government. The Congress says that they will not allow texts and lessons that poison the minds of children. On the show tonight, does a regime change now have to imply a revision in school texts as well? Should political ideology be allowed to govern education? Well, joining us now, Professor Niranjan Aradhya. We're also joined on this program by Aishwarya Mahadev of the Congress Party, Dr. Sudha Halkai of the BJP, and Professor Chandra B. Sharma, Professor of Education at IGNU, New Delhi. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. Dr. Sudha Halkai, let me come to you first. The Congress says, and I quote, "The act of polluting children's minds through texts and lessons cannot be condoned." How would you respond to that?
Very good evening. I would like to question to the Congress people that what is polluting the minds of the children, talking to make them aware of Dr. Keshav Baliram Hudgewar? Is it poisoning the children's mind of India to make them aware of somebody who has formed RSS? It is one of the strongest organizations in India, and who was very much motivated and influenced by the Hindutva and wanted to make it a Hindu Rashtra. So what is wrong? You can talk about Karl Marx, you can talk about any of those British people who had ruled India, but you cannot talk about somebody who wanted to make India come up with a cultural and a rich heritage of India and make it a nationalism. So what is wrong in that?
I can actually point out about seven or eight things which were changed previously. But let me go across to Aishwarya. How would you respond to that, Aishwarya? Why do you want things to be changed?
Vishnu, I think she kind of answered her own question in this situation. But to be very honest, last year we saw the Rohit Chakratirtha committee, the textbook revision committee, that created such stark changes in the syllabus, including, and you know, this is one example that she's given you, but omissions such as, you know, parts about Bhagat Singh, about from writers such as Sara Abu Bakr, you saw Baswana's writing, Baba Saheb Ambedkar's writings completely changed. You saw a lot of Dalit writing being kept out to the extent that academicians and a lot of forward-thinking writers, and mind you, Karnataka has the highest number of Gyanapita awardees, and we are literary geniuses come from my state. A lot of them had voiced their opposition. And today, or very recently, over 30 plus very, very senior academicians said you should not allow communalizing of textbooks. We believe objective history is something that should be done and not about how somebody went and flew out on a bulbul. And when a clarification is asked, you said, oh, it is a metaphor. Teach the children. It was metaphorically done that a man in a cellular jail was sitting out on a bulbul. You've seen the fact is there was massive uproar about the sort of syllabus, the curriculum that was there, Vishnu. And we need to change it. Karnataka prides itself on its secular credentials. And the Congress had very seriously stated that when we do come back to power, we will look at these revisions, because some of them, you have scrapped so much subaltern writing that so many writers voluntarily said, do not include my work in your textbooks because it's an insult to all of the work that we have done. Some of the most senior writers like Devnoor Mahadev, H.S. Shiv Prakash have asked not to even be included. And this was a large problem. And we are looking at ensuring that education is not saffronized and communalized. I don't think there's anything wrong in that.
Professor Sharma, does education need to be changed on the basis of political ideology? Once it's BJP, now it's Congress. What is the impact on students? Shouldn't the basis of education be fact?
Vishnu, I'm so happy you have two politicians and one academic to answer this question. Every time there is a debate on curriculum, I have raised this issue. Curriculum is not...
I've got two academics, sir. Two politicians and two academics.
Okay. And Niranjan
Professor Niranjan Aradhya is there as well. But go ahead,
yes,
sir,
just
please.
Joined. Yeah. So, curriculum should not be left to politicians. Politicians have something to gain or lose from curriculum, and they have their eyes only on votes. I have been worried every time there is a change in government and the curriculum has been tampered. Look at the NCERT. When Congress came to power in 2004, they changed the national curriculum framework. Again, when 2014, there was a change in government, although the present government has been slow in changing, but then the committees were formed to look at the national education policy, which took about 10 years to come, but it has come. What I would say is, look, there are changes in university curriculum, but there is not so much hue and cry about it, because that is decided by the academic council of the universities. However, when the school curriculum is changed, the minister for education changes it. Take note of it. The minister is in charge of the school education and not an academic. And that is why the opposition party every time opposes what the government does. Like last time when you had the BJP government and there was so much hue and cry about Tipu Sultan and being removed or whatever, then there was Congress which was shouting. Now Congress is changing. What I would say is, we, instead of just looking at the present changes, we need to look at the regulatory and the curriculum design framework of the country.
Okay, I think that's a larger and an important point. Yes, but let me go across to
what the changes are being made.
So I'll just I'll come to you on that point as well a little later. Professor Niranjan Aradhya, you know, you've been somebody who has stated your concerns on the revisions which had taken place earlier on. You want those revisions to go away. In other words, you want revisions to those revisions. What, in your mind, sir, was objectionable to what was introduced 2 years back or 1 year back?
The first thing is the entire process was unconstitutional. There was no mandate to revise the textbooks. Who has given the mandate to revise the textbooks? There should be a mandate, and that mandate should be based on a normative framework. See, the normative framework for any curriculum change, if you look at Section 7 of the Right to Education Act, Section 7 of the Right to Education Act very clearly says that there should be a framework for any revision, for any changes. There was no such, you know, kind of framework. There was no such mandate. And people have changed things according to their whims and fancies. See, the people who have, you know, turned the entire process...
No, but sir, the counterpoint to that is that the Congress now is going to be changing things according to its whims and fancies.
Basically, the argument is that any process should be within the normative framework. Constitution should be the basis for any changes, the kind of values that we teach. And that has to be decided by the academicians. That has to, what we need to teach in history has to be decided by the historians. What need to be taught in case of, literature and all, that has to be decided by the experts. What should be taught in science to the age appropriate, grade appropriate, that should be decided by the academicians. So we have done all these without any parameters, without any norms, without any normative framework. Therefore, the issue of revising, it is not revising the textbook as a whole. It is revising whatever that was added unconstitutionally in a most opaque way without any transparency that need to be changed.
Dr. Halkai, respond to that.
Yeah, one thing I would like to answer to Aishwarya or question to her. In fact, you know, whenever it comes, we are talking about Hindutva or Hindu, it is communalism they talk. It is going on since ages, since even after independence also. Nehruji had told that, you know, when it comes to Hindu, it is communalism. When it comes to Muslim, it is secularism. I don't understand talking about Hindutva and talking about Hindus in the land of Hindustan is communalism. What sort of thinking is this, or abysmal politics is this? I don't understand. Even till today, since ages after 7 decades also, the same thing is continuing. And whatever our academic experts have told, yes, I do agree with their thought, you know.
But the point that was mentioned, and you've not answered that question. Aishwarya, I'll come back to Aishwarya later, but Dr. Halkai, the point which was raised is that the changes to the curriculum, and not just the curriculum, the parts of the texts which took place a year back in Karnataka were not constitutionally done. They were not referenced properly by a panel which should be deciding this. The process was opaque. That's my question.
I don't agree with this. My government doesn't do anything which is unconstitutional. They are very well aware of our constitutional rules and they do respect it. And definitely they have done it in a very, very well framework of... this one, what they have to do it. I don't agree with this.
So, Dr. Halkai, let me ask you then, there's a chapter on Basavanna, which it was a class 9 social science textbook. There were changes over there, right? while the this is from the Indian Express, while the previous class 9 social science textbook described Basavanna, the founding saint of Lingayatism, as rebelling against Hindu practices and founding the Lingayat way of life, the revised textbooks only describe Basavanna as reforming the Vaishnava faith, which a lot of people say is entirely incorrect. Ambedkar, a reference to him as the architect of the constitution, has been removed or was removed. P. Lankesh, out. Hegde war in. The writings of eminent Kannada writers such as P. Lankesh, Sara Abu Bakar and A.N. Murthy Rao have been dropped from class 9 Kannada textbooks, replaced by essays written by the RSS founder. Now, I'm not saying that the RSS founder's work should not be present, but why does it have to be this or that?
I don't think they have removed it. Maybe some changes have been done in some paragraph. It is not completely removed as such.
No, I think it is. Dr. Niranjan Aradhya, has that not been removed?
Yes, I think Madam has a very poor understanding. I think all these, whatever the changes that you mentioned, all those changes were made. And unfortunately, it was such a chaos after, you know, there is, you know, particularly kind of telling about Basava. Basava was more a kind of a social reformer. He was not just a founder of the
Lingayat. Sir, I know. See, I'll come back to you after that.
And what made them, let her answer, what made them to drop, you know, a prefix before Ambedkar, like Ambedkar was the architect of the constitution? Is it wrong?
Dr. Halka, would
you know? He's the father of our constitution and he's the architect of a constitution. There's no
then why did you remove
it.
That?
The
why
history cannot be changed about it.
No, why did they remove
the
from the text?
The history cannot be changed about it. See,
But Dr. Halka, it has been changed. No, references to Ambedkar as the head of the Constituent Assembly that framed the constitution and of his rebellion against the caste system have been dropped, according to Dalit leaders. I'm referencing this to the Indian Express. They've done a lot of work on this.
And also, very interestingly, all those things were, you know, immediately added after a mass movement. After a mass, you know, when the people questioned them, everything was again, you know, kind of added to the text. It means the entire process was done in such a haphazard and, you know, in a, such a, you know, unscientific manner. So what does it show? It is not, you know, the kind of right method of, you know, revising the textbooks. You can't
probably
add things whenever you want. And
well,
you
let Dr. Halkai, Dr. Halkai go ahead.
No,
yes.
You are saying that it was changed. Something they wanted to add on more with Ambedkar ji and Basavanna ji. Before that only, if the agitation has taken place, then definitely they've got back the same thing.
There was no rationale except reducing all these social reformers as, you know, kind of just saints. That was the only vision. Whatever they have done, particularly in the larger context of, you know, kind of reviving the entire society, which is based on the caste system, which they oppose the Varna system, which is very core to the BJP agenda of Hindutva. When they have, you know, kind of...
Hindutva? Hindutva is a way of living. It is not one caste or something. Hindutva is a way of living. And we all are secular in India. We all are safe in India because of that way of thinking. We have to appreciate that thing. And why we
what
have
is
to...
Secular?
Every time
see, the way that you have
talk...
done is not secular. You are, you know, you are, you know, almost projecting the, you know, social reformers, particularly Basavanna, who was, you know, such a... He was the one who, you know, kind of propagated for equality in 12th century. And he got reduced as a founder of Lingayat Dharma.
Definitely, BJP has given the highest priority to Lingayats and Basavanna ji. There is no second question about it.
No, why are we equating Basavanna?
Probably they wanted to add on more.
Basavanna was above all these things. Basavanna was above all these religion, all these, you know, practices. What he preached was equality. And his preaching
and
was
Hindutva
much...
And Hindutva also says the same thing. Hindutva also says the same thing. It is what Lord Basavanna ji has told in the form of vachan as the Hindutva
I think
all right, both of you,
thing.
Half a second. Aishwarya, you have a point to make.
Instead
before
of,
I go back to Professor Sharma, half a second, sir. Aishwarya, go ahead. Yes.
Vishnu, the fact remains that there is a world of difference between what is Hindutva and the Hindu Dharma, and I do not need to school somebody on it. And one, objective fact in history cannot be replaced with fanciful representations of one community or her idea of what she thinks is this is Hindustan, so we should have Hindutva, because textbooks, again, shape minds of society. And this opposition... one second, I did not interrupt you, ma'am. The fact remains, Vishnu, that one, sir is very right when he says there was no mandate to revise textbooks, one. The second is the man that did end up heading it was somebody that insulted Kuvempu himself, and his writings about feminism and likening them to a certain profession was very famous during the debates I've done on your show too. But the fact remains that writers and academicians today have acknowledged, this is not a political sort of agenda, have come to the government and acknowledged that something wrong was done in the previous regime, and education was being communalized. Education was being turned to cater to one person's agenda or one party's plank, which is why we need to relook into it. This was not a suo motu initiation. It is academicians, it is senior writers, it is people who work in the cultural and literary space in Karnataka. And when they themselves in civil society have acknowledged that textbooks are fundamentally wrong, the way that we were teaching them last year, I don't understand why the BJP has any opposition about it, and they should appreciate it. When she says we are all secular, yes, ma'am. Is that why you removed Narayan Guru, who's a reformationist? Or Baswanna?
We have not removed completely. We are telling you there were some changes in the paragraphs, okay?
Ma'am,
don't
you
and put I it in the wrong way. It's not completely removed.
End of time, and I can tell you how you're wrong, but that is not the fact here. The fact is you decided to change textbooks to your preference and to your leaning, and took out sections of reformation in these certain class and caste struggles, and reformation and rebellion against a particular religion, right? And that is something you completely
No, no, but Dr. Halkai, do you not? Do you? What I find surprising, Dr. Halkai, is that
right.
Aishwarya, half a second. Do you not endorse the changes, Dr. Halkai, that you made? Because what you're telling
us is that these changes were not made completely. Vishnu, give me a time. I'll tell you I'm not denying the changes were made. I'm telling that, you know, the changes were made to certain extent in some paras, not the way it is being projected to the people of Karnataka. It's not the way. And we have to come up with the cultural and heritage information about our country. It is not that every time it is appeasement politics, communalism, appeasement politics is for the Congress. It is not for we BJP.
Okay.
I don't accept it.
All right, one second. I just want to go across to Professor Sharma, who's been waiting very patiently. Professor Sharma, the entire process of revising texts has been happening at so many levels. We've seen it at NCRT as well. Again, an effort to take out certain parts of our history, which we've all studied in our schools, in our colleges. Is it your real concern that this is being done and it'll keep being done depending on who's in power?
Exactly. You have exactly asked me the right question, Vishnu, that we find that every time there is a change in government, either in state or central, we find the first thing that is changed is the curriculum. Good that the politicians realize that curriculum is important for children and the nation, and that is why they are concerned about it. This did not happen before 1999, when Murali Manohar Joshi for the first time established a committee and came out with a national curriculum framework. But then what I am afraid about, and I mean worried about, is that every time these changes are made, they are made for political reasons and not academic. I disagree with all the three panelists here that they are trying to justify something. The government finds people and academics who are vociferous about a particular ideology, which I completely reject that academics should take a political stand in academia. I am worried about my children because the changes are most of the times not done with children in mind and their growth and their development. So I have a strong feeling that you must have an independent body outside the government to decide on curriculum and schooling. Why are the ministers the head of the school bodies? The minister of state, in the name of education being in the concurrent list, the minister of the state or the central chairs the curriculum committee of center or states. I would strongly suggest that there should be an independent body by the name of School Education Commission parallel to the University Grants Commission. Look, University Grants Commission comes up with many changes because they are not political body. Nobody shouts against them. But because the Minister for Education, Karnataka, today is taking a decision, the obvious thing is opposition will shout, even if it is in the national interest. If these changes were made by an apolitical body, the politicians would not have been worried about but that, because that would not have given any political party millage upon the people. So what I believe is that you should not just look at the changes being made. Every party will try to
okay. All right, Aishwarya, you had a point. Go ahead. Yeah.
Are in the national interest, but I believe these changes are political and not academic.
Aishwarya, go ahead.
And what is being done in Karnataka is dangerous and no, this will
come to I understand, Dr. Sharma. Let Aishwarya go ahead. Yeah.
No, I disagree with, Professor Sharma for having such a myopic view, because the writers and academicians here, and, you know, to also cast the remarks that they're politicized when they come out and protest and whatnot is extremely insulting to them, because objective history has been twisted. You cannot take away from the fact that...
No, what you're calling as objective history, the others are saying you're twisting it.
The objective history, this is not the same as entire chapters of a certain dynasty being removed out of textbooks. The fact is, the Karnataka curriculum has been very whole, whether it's the reformationist, whether it's the subaltern history, whether it's Narayan Guru and whatnot. When objective history of people who lived and preached a certain section or to a certain section or to a certain ideology are being scrapped, and you have people putting in stories about how a man in the cellular jail could go and see the motherland through bulbuls there. You know, that again is a clear distortion.
Aishwarya, what you're referring to is...
in textbooks. What I'm talking about is there is nothing wrong.
You are politicizing curriculum. You are politicizing curriculum. That's
not
done.
Only myopic, but extremely pessimistic. Because trust me, in my state, before the previous textbook revision, we have had and ensured a very holistic, a very secular, given equal...
Okay.
Adequate space to all communities, all type of writers. This was clear communal agenda in textbooks and poisoning
all
the
right,
mind.
Well, let us see what you finally
what you call communal, some people call nationalist. What
it's
you
an
call
absolute
some
shame.
About talking about Savarkar
that you
like
cast
on
aspersions on the writers
in my
state.
To him who has
all right, everybody, let's in the name of our children bring down our respective volumes. At the end of the day, it's the children who will have to learn and then relearn history. But I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us and raising a lot of the concerns which have been mentioned over here. I'm just going to quickly move on to what really has been the big story through the day, the crisis in Manipur. Home Minister Amit Shah is on a visit to the violence-hit state. He's chaired an all-party meeting, visited some of the worst affected areas in Churachandpur. The tension, sadly, shows no signs of ending.
People lining up on both sides of the road as Home Minister Amit Shah's convoy drove into Churachandpur, the heartland of the Kuki community. One of the areas worst hit by the ethnic violence in Manipur, in which nearly 80 persons have been killed in the last 28 days.
Union Home Minister Amit Shah arriving in Churachandpur, and as you can see, lines of women here, of course, waiting to welcome him. But here's Mr. Shah's convoy that's just gone in.
We have raised this demand collectively for a separate administration. We have met the Honorable Home Minister in Delhi collectively by the MLAs of our community, and now the ball is in the court of the Government of India.
The destruction left behind by the ethnic violence is unbelievable. You know, there are homes that have been completely gutted. There are cars that have been gutted, you know, while they've been parked inside buildings.
This once bustling town is now counting its dead. The district hospital mortuary has unclaimed dead bodies, including that of Niang Hoi Ching, whose distraught sister had this to say.
There was a gunfire, and then so on the spot itself, my sister died.
Earlier, the Home Minister met women traders at Imphal's famous Ima market and political party leaders who can help broker a peace. Pressure is building on the centre to come up with a solution. 12 sports stars from Manipur, including Olympic medalist Mirabai Chanu, say they will return their awards if there is no speedy solution to the violence.
कि आगे हम अपने देश के लिए कुछ नहीं करेंगे, कुछ कंट्रीब्यूशन नहीं देंगे, हमारा आवाज भी वापस कर देंगे, यही मांग है। अभी हम शाम को अमित शाह जी से मिलने का है।
For now, 10 lakh rupees is being paid as compensation to the families of the dead, with a job being provided to next of kin. Small steps that address immediate concerns. What Manipur desperately needs, though, is long-term peace. With Sanjay Chakravarti and Saurabh Gupta in Churachandpur and Ratnadeep Chakravarti in Guwahati, Bureau Report, NDTV.
All right, we're completely out of time on Left, Right and Center.